You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, brought to you by Ministry Grid. Ministry Grid is an online church leadership and volunteer training platform offering a library of thousands of videos and a suite of powerful admin tools to provide practical training for every area of ministry in your church. Find out more and get a free 30-day trial at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, and I'm here with my co-host, Todd Adkins.
What?
And today we are asking 5 leadership questions of Ben Trueblood, who is the director of the student ministries here at Lifeway. Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about what it means to be director of student ministries at Lifeway, because Todd and I have some sense of the scope of that, but I'm pretty sure most listeners don't know all that Lifeway does with student ministries, student pastors, and then high school and middle school students.
Yeah, so Lifeway Student Ministry consists of basically two things, publishing and events, and then those events are broken out into several categories. So centrifuge camps and student life camps, world changers and P2 missions, as well as an international mission event called Access International. And then with publishing, we do books, Bible studies, Bibles for students, devotionals, and all those things. So pretty much anything that has to do with student ministry at Lifeway comes through our area.
So like the curriculum lines that that Lifeway does, the main ones, Bible Studies for Life, Explore the Bible, Gospel Project, the students, those will come through in anything that's aimed at student ministry.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then shorter Bible studies as well that are more topical. So, I mean, a whole variety of different published resources.
Yeah, and the three you mentioned would be more of like an ongoing type of, of Bible study. And then we have the 6 to 8 week shorter Bible studies, as well as stuff to use for Disciple Now weekend or retreat, things like that.
So let me ask you a quick question. Going back to the event piece, how many people are at one of your camps? How many students are at one of your camps during the summer?
Just like pick total. One and go all, with it.
Combine them all and tell me.
All events so total like, reach like, during the
like,
summer.
Yeah, like eight, like middle school, high school. What are you looking at?
Yeah, so over the course of a summer between the events that we mentioned, we'll have just over 110,000 people. That includes students and leaders and youth pastors and the whole thing. So
that's crazy.
That is a lot of people.
I heard that
number
recently and I was like, what? Are you really that many people?
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
June to August, so it's our teams are pretty busy.
I didn't grow up going to any camps that Lifeway put on, but I went to all of the church camps that we had access to, starting from probably third or fourth grade on up through high school. Yeah, and camps are really formative in terms of friendships and memories and fun and stories to tell and spiritual development and those kinds of things as well. So the ministry that Ben oversees impacts lots and lots of lives, and the ripple effect effects of that into schools, neighborhoods, homes of unsaved family of kids who are at camp and things like that is really profound. So all that to say, Ben is influential in an area of ministry at Lifeway that's pretty significant, and that's one of the many reasons we wanted to talk to him today. So we're going to jump into our 5 questions now, and the first one we ask everybody, Ben, is who are you learning from right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say I'll list 3 books as kind of people I'm learning from. One of those is The Leadership Engine. Noel Tichy, I think, is the way that you pronounce that. And the whole idea there is just develop your team. It's a larger book basically to say you need to be developing your people, and that's one of the primary things as a leader. So that's one of the things that really over the last year has really made an impact on my leadership here, and something that we've tried to push down into all of our teams is development.
And you lead a team that's in 2 different locations currently, right?
Yeah, so our student life team is in Birmingham, Alabama, and the rest of us are here in Nashville.
And so that leadership development piece must have, that you're focusing on through that book, must have a kind of a distinct flavor to it, or some unique difficulties or things to consider, because you've got a 2.5-hour drive between your 2 teams.
Yeah, it creates an interesting dynamic, and we have a great team of people at Student Life, and so you have to find different ways to connect with people and to lead a team and to empower people to lead a team when you're 2.5, 3 hours away.
Right. So you mentioned that was Leadership Engine. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then you said there was a couple other books.
Yeah, there's a book that Peter Drucker wrote. It's called The Effective Executive. And there are a couple of things. Yeah. Yep. A couple of things that stood out kind of in that. One of them deals with calendaring. And like calendaring and management of time, it's one of those things that I feel like will creep up and destroy you if you don't constantly keep your thumb on it. Like you can slide into meeting destruction and productivity goes to zero. And so one of the things that he talks about is consolidating all of your minutes into 90 minute chunks of work. And if you don't have 90 minutes, then you're not really going to be able to get something done. So, you know, that ramp up into getting into a rhythm of work, you know, he talks about how 30 minute chunks is really no time to accomplish anything at all. So taking all of your random minutes and combining them into 90 minute chunks on your calendar to where you're alone and can work and can be productive is one of the things he talks about.
Work is a lot like sleep in that way. I mean, if you broke your sleep up into 30-minute segments throughout the day, you would just end up being exhausted. So you sleep 30 minutes, you're awake for an hour and a half, you sleep for 30, you're awake for 3 hours. So, I mean, you have to do it in a chunk of several hours to get it done. Now he's talking 90 minutes, not several hours, but I mean, the ability for it to work and for you to see the fruit of it, the concept I think is pretty similar.
I would say though, I mean, I want to be careful in that when you break up into 90-minute chunks, I mean, what you're doing is you're creating the margin to get work done that is not the tedious work that just it tends to happen to us all. The other thing is when you look at that 90 minutes, you know, I would even say sometimes, yes, you need a big chunk of time to get something accomplished, but if there's a lot of little things there, you also could break up that 90 minutes. But the point is a 90-minute block of time to work, not be interrupted by meetings or not making phone calls.
It's not one task per 90 minutes. No, it's 90 minutes to knock out whatever tasks are there.
Whether it's a creative task or whether it's, man, I've got a ton of stuff in my inbox that I need to knock out and then move on to the next thing. Just creating, like you said, Todd, that margin to get something done.
Which, that's why I would say when a couple of days a week, members of our team work offsite, we all attest to getting a lot more done, quote unquote, in those contexts, because it is where you can empty your inbox or edit for podcasts or do editing work or whatever it is. Whereas when you're in the office, there's just constant interruptions. That's where collaborative things happen as opposed to working by yourself. So there's benefit to both, but those chunks of time are invaluable.
Especially in this day and age when your device that keeps you connected with everyone everywhere is always with you. So you can constantly be interrupted by things that maybe aren't necessarily as important as what you're working on, but it seems like it's a timely thing that you have to do.
Tyranny of the urgent.
Yeah.
It is totally tyranny of the urgent. And, you know, it's really helpful to even take a step back from your phone or from whatever to make sure that you have that time of uninterrupted work. Because if it's near you, you're going to have a tendency to check your email and answer something that's quick, thinking, oh, I'm just going to get it over with.
But
not
email
focus
begets
on that one
email.
Big thing.
Never forget that.
Yeah.
You send an email, it will come back to you threefold.
It for sure does. And so like when I go into one of these 90-minute things.
It's like Hydra. It's exactly right.
For sure.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, if you cut one head off, it grows back too.
Yeah.
But is that from?
Like a lizard tail.
It's also like Medusa, which is from the mythology.
Is Hydra a legit thing?
That's right.
I mean, I know Hydra is a legit thing, but was it like a secret society or am I thinking something weird?
Yeah, it's from the Avengers, right?
Yeah, Hydra was started by the Nazis.
I don't
really
watch much shows or this is something that we get into every once in a while on the podcast. So most of my references are historical or they're all random, but a lot
Hydra
of
was a fictitious group that was supposedly started by the Nazis and fought by a Captain America.
Yeah.
So awesome.
So it's call that semi-historical.
That's right. Semi-historical.
It's pseudo-historical. That's right. But bringing us back in, because I have to be the bad guy.
I'll go to question two. I got it.
No, he had a third book. We only got through two or three, and we are having such good conversation.
And the third one's really important in light
of
the Bible. That's right.
Yeah, the Bible is really important, but that's not what I was going to mention. So now I feel less spiritual. But The third book I was going to mention is important for the time of year that we're in, and that's the Matheny Manifesto by manager of the St. Louis Cardinals and
yes.
Central Division champs.
See, I know all about this. This guy,
nothing. I don't really.
It's a great read.
This guy confused volleyball and football the other night, so might have been on purpose. I'm not sure.
It was on purpose.
But so volleyball I say with the pads, volleyball with everything. Could be.
That's right. Volleyball with pads sounds interesting.
Could be interesting.
The Matheny Manifesto isn't. I heard an interview with him about that a few months ago. What is it? Is it sort of a parenting kind of book or like a child rearing kind of thing? Is there an element of that in there?
Yeah, for sure. He talks a lot about youth sports
and
the culture of, like in student ministry, we would kind of call it the helicopter parent.
Yes.
You know, that's always there and always screaming from the stands.
The little league dad.
And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so he kind of breaks that down and talks about, his history as a little league coach. And then he tells a lot of baseball stories from when he was coming up, and how his coaches were with him. And it's just, as a baseball guy, it's a really, really fun read. But yeah, it's youth sports and how because when the manifesto kind of came from the agreement that he handed all the parents of the little league team that he coached and had them agree to it before he would agree to coach.
Gotcha.
And so
I like it. I'm going to have to check that one out.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into our second question because it's like we're 20 minutes in or something crazy. What is the main point of emphasis in your leadership right now? And that's either you personally or with your team.
Yeah, I would say two things. One, going off from the Leadership Engine book that I mentioned a minute ago, and that's team development. Not only team development for my immediate team, my leadership team, but also in trying to instill in them development for their teams. So the leadership pipeline would be a big thing for us right now.
Developing leaders who develop.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is, you know, I just had a conversation with John Maxwell on the podcast and I brought up the same book. Because if you look in the back of the book, there's really, really helpful appendix with numerous charts and different things that you can use. One of those, if you match it up with something that Maxwell did, which was the three levels of shared ministry, dumping, delegating, or developing. Now, in the back of Teachy's book, it's really like, how do you lead? Well, the old way, or not necessarily the old way, but it's command, tell, sell, teach, and then they kind of leave it there. I would add coach and then, you know, really mentor to the top of that to really round it off. But when you look at what it takes to do those things, so command, it takes very little. And frankly, that's not a great leader. I mean, people are doing it out of fear.
Yeah.
Tell is because you have hierarchy and so on and so forth. So it's really interesting, I think, to think about when you think about leadership development and when you think about books like The Leadership Engine, just taking into account that, you know, you'll hear us bring up books again and again and again, and you'll also hear us just, you know, lament sometimes that a lot of the leadership books are the same. And yet, at the same time, you can take two or three things and put them together, and it's kind of something new. And you can make it your own, and it really becomes a valuable tool. I mean, all these leadership books, ultimately, it's taking what is great and applying them to your own personal context.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, in our context in churches, like I was a local church youth pastor. I know you served on local church staff. Like we would call that discipleship, right? Like we would call developing people discipleship.
Yeah.
And so it's those two concepts go hand in hand in my opinion.
Yeah.
And Todd says regularly on this podcast, and I've begun to echo him because good leaders get imitated by the people who they lead, is we often say that leadership development is advanced discipleship.
Yeah.
So the idea that developing people in the church context, leadership development, people get real nervous about it because it sounds real professional and businessy and things like that. But the idea that you're moving them from just character development into skill and competency development in service in the church and then that kind of thing. So it's, they're seamless. And like you said, it's putting those two things together. They're so closely related.
You can never, I mean, hear me say, cause I talked to somebody offline about the podcast and they were like, hey, wait a second. You talked about moving people from character to competency. You're talking about leaving character. And I'm like, no. I'm saying you build on character. You have to continue to cultivate your character the same way
you
have to
start with character, and that's the foundation.
Competency. Yeah, yeah. But basically in the church, that's what we're doing. We're helping them, you know, as new believers, get into the spiritual disciplines, get into the guts of their heart and life and figure out what needs to be removed, you know, getting into a good solid character state. And then that's when you build on development. Otherwise that foundation is cracked.
Yeah. Well, in my area specifically, the area that we serve in the church as student ministry, I really think that this is an issue that's lacking in a lot of student ministries, is that leadership development, not only of students and developing them in leadership as a part of the discipleship process, but also developing your volunteer leaders and making sure that you have volunteer leaders. And you know, there seems to be like the Lone Ranger mm-hmm. aspect of student ministry, that the student pastor needs to do it all. And that's just not the case.
I mean, having been in student ministry, and I think you guys probably both attest to this as well, you spend much more time recruiting volunteers than you do developing them into leaders. And so every year you go, oh, Mrs. So-and-so is not going to be volunteering this year, so we need to replace her because we need a girl small group leader. And so you end up just trying to, you go on the volunteer mill instead of
filling a chair.
Yeah. Instead of developing people who then become disciplers of other people and become sort of your right and left hand in ministry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's jump on to our third question, which is, what obstacles are you currently facing in leadership, either organizationally or you personally, just things you're focusing on?
Yeah, I would go to two immediately. I think, obstacle sounds strong for what I'm about to say, but you mentioned one a minute ago, and that's the distance that exists between mm-hmm. two of our teams. So half of our team is here and half of our team is in Birmingham. And it just creates some additional challenges in communication and in FaceTime. You know, a lot of leadership is that relationship, and a lot of development is being able to sit across the table from somebody and to be able to have an open and great conversation. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it a little more difficult through Skype or through the phone or things like that. So we have to try to address those obstacles as much as possible. And then the other one, I would say this is going to sound like a cop-out answer because I think everyone would say this, but it's real in my world, and that's just time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of travel that's involved in my role, and a lot of time that I'm out of the office. So going back to the Drucker book I mentioned a moment ago, when I'm here and when I'm in the office, it puts even more of a burden to spend every moment strategically and not to let those moments get sucked away.
What resources people, conversations, examples have you found that have been helpful in managing a team at a distance? Because that's a unique leadership challenge. Not everybody has to do that, but those who have to, I'm sure, are looking around going, who's doing this well? Who has something helpful to say on this?
Yeah, man, that's a great question, and I would love to know. I would love to know the resources that other people are using to get better at that. And the reality is that's something that I think corporations are going to be doing more of future. And so it's something that we've gotta mm-hmm. figure out. There's a book called Rework that I'm reading right mm-hmm. now, and I forget the names of the authors, which is horrible. But
one of them is Jason somebody. They're the he's the guy who started Basecamp and a number of others. It's a collaborative. All they do is sort of entrepreneurial collaborative stuff. That's sort of their thing.
Jason Fried or Jason Fried?
Yes.
Yep. That's him. So that book.
Thank you, Google.
It is a it's a super quick read. It's a picture and then text, mm-hmm. like right next to each other, every page. And they split the chapters up. Really, it's like three paragraphs per chapter. And it's just, here's what we learned in starting the software companies that we did. And they're totally mobile. So I would venture to say from the book, they don't really even have a headquarters. They've got people all over the place. And they talk about having people give them a lot of freedom, hire right up front so that you have somebody that's in Denver and you live in Nashville, for instance. then you've got to make sure in the hiring process that this is going to be somebody who's a self-starter,
yep.
whose culture aligns with your culture so that you don't really have to police that situation.
Yeah. Otherwise it's going to take 6 months for it to, you know, for a problem to manifest itself. I think the interesting thing about that is if you look at the way church practice has changed, if you look at the way that, whether you want to talk about multi-site or whether you want to just talk about, I've got one campus and, you know, it used to be that people came Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There were multiple opportunities for me to connect with them, to communicate with them. There were multiple opportunities for me to develop them, you know, all these different things. And so now that's not there anymore. And in a very real way, the work of the ministry is done by leaders and volunteers in our churches. So I think there's a lot that we can learn from dispersed work environments because we're in one.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, you brought up Jason Fried, the author of that book. Time was the other challenge you mentioned. He has a TED talk on interruptions at work, which is fantastic in terms, you know, so it's 17 minutes. And really, I think the first 7 or 8 minutes of it just does a whole paradigm shift on how to set up a workplace, how to manage and work as a team in such a way that you're not constantly interrupting each other as a way to protect those blocks of time. So he's sort of taking the Drucker idea. He doesn't ever credit Drucker because he probably doesn't even know it came from him, and creating and just sort of sharing some ideas about how they as a team try to protect those blocks of time to get work done. So another Jason Fried resource for people addressing the idea of interruptions, because they're irritating for all of us. Our fourth question, we're gonna take a left turn here. We don't we're moving out of the workplace. We didn't really ask you about your family at the beginning. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your family, and then the question is, what does leadership look like in your home? So we've talked church, we've talked workplace, mobile leadership, but what does it look like in your home, and who is in your home?
Yeah, I've been married for 16 years and have 4 kids. And so
how old are you?
I'm 37.
Okay. You don't, I wouldn't guess that you were old enough to be married 16 years.
Yeah. We got married in college.
You're aging very well.
Thank you. I was 20, for a month when we were married.
You're setting me up great for the last question. Keep going.
So we had to put the rental car right. in my wife's name because the company wouldn't let me rent it cause I was too young. So that was awesome. But married for 16 years.
That wasn't leadership.
And an older woman.
We have, 4 children, 9, 7, 3, and 1. And so that's family, for us, and leadership in the home.
It's kind of like herding cats.
It is a lot. And I think the times I want my kids to know that I was with them, mm-hmm. and that I was tuned into them. Leadership in the home for me with my children, looks like I want them to grow up knowing that Dad challenged me to follow Christ, that Dad challenged me to be better, that Dad challenged me to try and do difficult things and not just take the easy way out. I guess shout out to the Harris brothers, do hard things. Yeah. That kind of, I want them to be challenged, know that Dad challenged them. And I want them to know that Dad loved what they loved, which sometimes for me looks like watching 4 episodes of My Little Pony, which is awesome.
That is love.
Sacrificial. You know,
I just read in Mark this morning about taking up our cross and bearing it. And sometimes I think My Little Pony might be included.
For sure. And, you know, it's a scary thing because I've found out through my daughter's love of My Little Pony that there's actually a thing where grown men love My Little Pony, and they're called bronies.
I think jabroni is the term you're looking for.
If you smell what the rock is cooking.
So yeah, right? I wish he would come and open up a can on them.
Yes. So it's frightening. But yeah, so I want my kids to know that I challenged them, to know that I loved them, and to know that I loved and was engaged in what they loved to do.
So you said 9, 7, 3, and 1?
Yeah.
Boys, girls, where are they?
Boy, girl.
Okay, and what do they all love besides My Little Pony?
Yeah, Jonathan is my oldest. He loves to read. He's a huge Harry Potter fan. likes basketball, loves to watch baseball. He doesn't like to play it, which was a time for me where I had to kind of check myself a little bit and, and allow him to make his own decisions. My daughter, 7-year-old, she loves dance and singing. And so I'm dance partner in the living room. My 3-year-old boy, he loves to.
So you know all of Taylor Swift's songs, don't you?
Close.
Yeah.
Close. I didn't go. She was just in town.
Not recently. Too long ago, yeah.
I didn't go. But I'm sure there will come a day where I will be going to some type of teen girl concert.
Okay, this is probably a different podcast, but how can a dad go to a teen girl concert and not look like a total creeper?
I don't know that you
because I have a 9 and 6 year old daughters, and so I'm in the same stage looking ahead going, that is in my future, and yeah. I don't want to get arrested.
I think no. my opinion is you've got to stay really close to your daughters.
There you go.
I need to get like a his and hers shirt or something. Yeah. Like that's I'm with stupid. I'm with yeah, this kid. Yeah.
I'm here with my daughters.
That's right.
Is a good t-shirt to have.
What are you going to say about the 3-year-old? He's just a hot mess.
Loves to wrestle and throw stuff and jump off of places. And so it's damage control.
It really is. I'm like, how many times do we have to talk to you about not stepping on or not standing on that?
Yeah.
He just like goes and stands. If it's on the floor. He's gonna, toys, whatever. And he just seems completely oblivious to all humanity.
You know, it's funny. He tells my 1-year-old, who's a girl, when she starts to do something that he thinks is wrong, he'll say, no, sir, to her because it's what he hears. No, and so he repeats the no, sir.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So, you did set up this question very well. Our last question is, what would you tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to lead?
I would tell the 20-year-old Ben to talk a lot less and listen a lot more. I can think of several moments in my brain right now that I would scream to myself, shut up. Don't say what you're about to say. just in conversations where with parents of students and conversations with other staff members in local church staff. As I mentioned, I was a student pastor before coming here. And just some things where, as a young guy, I thought I knew all there was to know. And it's just not true. I know a lot less. Even now, 13 years of student ministry and 3.5 years here. So I would tell myself to be quiet.
It's amazing. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. So you know less and learn more.
Like I look back, I went to my first church as a 21-year-old, I was a middle school pastor, and I look at that and I go, why did you guys hire me?
No, yes.
That's ridiculous. Yep.
I had just come out of my freshman year in college. I was 19 and a half years old, and I'm now the interim joke. They saw me coming. I was the interim student and children's pastor at this inner city church in Cincinnati area. And man, I'm like, you guys are crazy. You let me have a lock-in?
That's really? Exactly the same way I feel.
What? Did churches still hire 20-year-olds? Because I was between a junior and senior in college when I was hired by a church. So same basic age. Yeah, and it's same exact feelings. No need to rehash them. Do churches still do that? Like, are they hiring 20-year-olds or have they learned anything over the years?
No.
I don't know.
They're still hiring.
Is that because 20-year-olds are the only ones dumb enough to go work 80-hour weeks for like $4?
Yep.
Probably so. Probably, and it's a foot in the door.
It's fun. I love doing student ministry, but it's hard to imagine.
I learned a lot.
It's hard to imagine somebody with like an established life and a family doing the same things.
There's no way. There is no way I could do what I did back then.
No, yeah. That was crazy days. Well, Ben, before we wrap up, I did want to give you a chance. I know that you are starting a podcast, and it's really aimed at the student ministry space. So would you give us just a sense of what people can expect? Because I'm sure some of our listeners are in that world or could recommend it. So I certainly don't want to let the opportunity pass for you to to tee up your podcast as well.
Yeah, thank you. It'll launch on October the 20th and at Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast, and it is aimed and designed specifically for youth pastors and volunteer youth workers. So we try to stay laser focused in that, and just a way to serve the church and a way to provide some insight and development to youth ministry leaders. Have a lot of local church student pastors that will come through and do interviews with us, as well as just some general student ministry conversation.
You going to interview some of those 20-year-olds?
I will. I'll try to get them all lined up and
get all their wisdom.
And my question will be,
they know everything.
Why do you think your church hired you? That's right.
And second question, will you stop talking and start listening, please?
That's not right. Hey, seriously. I look at myself, and even now in this conversation, I'm like, I should be a little easier on those guys. I really should, because I was that way, and I don't want them to look at me and go, there's those old guys again.
They're always yelling at us kids.
Always yelling, and get off my lawn.
You know, you feel out of touch so quickly too.
Yes.
I mean, student ministry just leaves. It leaves you behind.
Yep.
And there's absolutely no doubt that as many mistakes as we made at that age and that guys that age make now, God uses them in students' lives in some really in ways that they couldn't even anticipate or do on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, God makes things happen through them.
Yeah. And they get to be a spiritual hero in a lot of students' lives. Mm-hmm. And I know when I was in student ministry, my youth pastor had a profound impact on my life.
And he would probably look back on himself and call himself an idiot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know he'd call me one. So there's no doubt about that.
That's funny. God does things through a lot of idiots, apparently, us three included.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was this episode of the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. We really enjoyed having you on, Ben. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
And Todd, thanks for co-hosting as usual.
As always. You
did a fine job.
Oh, thank you.
And to you listeners, thank you for all of you who have gone on iTunes, left us ratings and reviews. Once again, we ask that you would do so if you haven't already. Really helps us out and helps other people find the podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. To learn more about how you can train leaders in your church, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks and watch a short demo video. For participating, you will get a free 30-day trial for your entire church. Again, that's ministrygrid.com/howitworks.